Hey guys, it's another week of Magical Boys coming to you sooner than usual, back on our weekly schedule.
Yeah.
This is Ruben Medina, your co-host boy, and I'm joined by, man, this is great. I'm killing this. I'm glad you had me open the show. And I'm joined by the beautiful DJ Kirkland, as always. Say hello, DJ.
Hi.
Oh, great. Cool.
It's me, and together we make the Magical Boys. Yay!
Yeah, instead of just Magical Boy, singular.
We are just one large Magical Boy.
Just one very big. We can combine like Gurren Lagann style into one very weird robot. DJ, so what's going on? What's happening in your life?
Oh, you know, stuff and things and things and stuff. Yeah. And I'm engaged now.
Yeah, congratulations, DJ. 4,000-something Twitter likes later.
Thank you. Oh my God. And it's still going crazy. Like, oh my God. I looked at my feed on TweetDeck, and it's still just, like, going nuts.
You guys are basically a celebrity couple.
And what's really funny is that whenever we go to conventions and stuff, they're like, oh, like, it's you, you're Brandon, right? And they're like, how do you know my name? It's like, your boyfriend's on social media.
Brandon's like, please don't talk to me.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, oh God, I'm just but a math teacher. I'm not famous. And Brandon always is like, you're so famous, you're Twitter verified. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything, but okay. But yes, I'm engaged, and that's a thing that happened, and I'm like over the moon about it. I love my boyfriend very much, and he clearly loves me enough from some strange reasons that he wants to lock it down. So so that's what's happening in my life, which is pretty cool. I'm very happy and excited.
Chris. No, I'm very happy and excited for you. It's pretty cool. Pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Nothing. I've got nothing. I had my did my Colin Mockery shows this weekend, which is fun. Mm-hmm. It's always fun performing with him. It's cool. I'm at the point where we've done enough shows together now. Like, this is like six or seven, well, times has been down. I've done like usually a show or two each time. Mm-hmm. Where like I don't get super nervous on stage with him anymore.
Yeah.
So like I'm like, I don't know, I'm just way more familiar with him, which is probably good and bad, because it probably means I'm acting more like an idiot around him, because I'm less like concerned about not looking like an idiot. I don't know. But that was cool.
Nice.
And then we have Scott Adsit coming this weekend, so I'll get to perform with him again.
Nice.
Baymax and Hornberger from 30 Rock. So that'll be cool. But yeah, same stuff. Doing that, working. Mm-hmm. Tired, but yeah. Otherwise fine.
Yeah.
We have Crunchyroll in two weeks. Week and a half.
Like a week and a half almost, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I think that the website was like 11 days, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming up real quick.
So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see you and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And DJ, what have you been playing?
I actually put in Horizon Zero Dawn, and I hate that I'm saying this, but it's grabbing me more than Nier has right now, which I can't believe that I'm saying that, but like, I think just because I was injected with more story, like, a lot sooner than it picks up in Nier.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I love both of those games. I have full intentions of playing through all of Nier and beating it. But I started playing Horizon Zero Dawn, and it was very much like you were saying before, how it has a lot of vibes similar to Breath of the Wild. So I was kind of like immediately drawn to that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty fun. It's really pretty.
It's gorgeous. Yeah,
yeah, it's really, really, really pretty.
Really beautiful.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, they're very different games as far as, I appreciate Nier as, like, I think I've mentioned this before, Nier is, like, a single vision of one man. Like, it's very much a game made by Taro, Yoko Taro.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, like, you can tell, like, I mean, obviously it was made by a team and, like, lots of people, mm-hmm. but it's a very singular vision from an auteur versus Horizon Zero Dawn. Definitely is amazing so far, but it feels like it feels like a video, like a big video game, like a big, very well done video game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I like them in very different ways. I think Horizon Zero Dawn is pretty one of the best examples of like really good quality triple A video game making. Whereas Nier is, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that Nier is a triple A title. I don't think it's quite that big, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I would say Nier is like an amazing example of sort of like artist, like that there can still be games that are purely artistic visions from mm-hmm. one person. Not that, like, that's not saying that Horizon Zero Dawn isn't like an artistic vision in its own right.
Right.
But it's just something I don't see in video games much anymore. These last couple generations, you don't see the Kojima style. Like Metal Gear to me was very much that way. Metal Gear is a game that's has major appeal, but is very much a single artistic vision from one man. And because of that has like a bunch of really weird, quirky things happening in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Nier reminds me of that a lot.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree with you. And I also said that Nier to me feels a lot like a PS2 game, like a really good PS2 game.
Oh, absolutely.
And which is what got me into it to begin with anyway. When I played the demo, I'm like, this is a really good PlayStation 2 game. Like, in the best possible way. It's really, really fun. I just need to really just sit back down and spend some more time with it and get to the point to where, like you were saying before when we talked about it, where the story starts to pick up a little bit more.
Yeah, I can definitely see why Horizon Zero Dawn would grab you faster first. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what are you thinking? I mean, how far into it are you so far?
Oh, I just got to the like the tribe village. So
oh, okay.
What you so do? You're early. You're doing like rite of passage.
Yeah, the proving.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. Like the controls are really tight. They're really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel myself fumbling through the controls a lot, like, because I tend to do when I play a new game. I'm like, oh no, I pressed the wrong button again to do this thing when I went to do something else. But like the controls feel really good. I like the skill tree progression for abilities and all that stuff. So it all feels really well crafted and really fun. I like Aloy a lot as a character. I think she's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But I guess there's kind of like one thing that kind of bothers me about that game a little bit is that it's this kind of like weird like hodgepodge of like of like cultural heritage, different heritages. Yeah, it's like this mishmash of several like backgrounds, and it's a little jarring for me at times because I'm like white people with dreads. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I'm like, your hair doesn't do that. Like, that's just your hair is matted and it's gross. Like, you don't actually have dreads as a white person. But
and that game is like lots of white people with dreads.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. There's like every white person has dreads.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is a little weird. But like that, beyond that, like it's like a fantastic game. It's really pretty, and I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, I think that Horizon Zero Dawn, if there's one thing from just a cultural standpoint, I think that it kind of missteps on is that I think you're right as far as I know that it's like super, super far future.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly like things will change. So I don't mm-hmm. think it's necessarily wrong in fiction.
Yeah.
But as like any sort of you can't like put art in a vacuum, right?
Right.
So I think it's amazing how many characters in that game are POCs. Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen as many black and Asian characters in a game ever. Especially that actually look black or actually look Asian.
Yes.
Not just dark skin, but actually, like, features,
mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. I think that the mishmash of cultures is weird because there is lots of, like... I think that you could argue to some degree that there is... almost weird Native American, especially appropriation on that game, mm-hmm. in a way. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily bother me, because I know, like, again, like, in the fiction of the game, it's super, super far forward. Mm-hmm. It's tribes that have developed, you know, way in the future.
Yeah.
But, again, like, saying, you know, things don't exist in a vacuum. It was a little bit weird for them to use the term Braves, mm-hmm. which I feel like they say less as the game progresses, but early on, like, all of the warriors in, like, the tribe that you're in, they use Braves frequently as mm-hmm. a word for them. Mm-hmm. And in a world that, if the world is going to be so far future that, like, a lot of these cultures sort of mash up together, mm-hmm. and things that we identify as being common with one culture are showing up with the multiple cultures, you know, I think that it's not ridiculous to think that they would have had a different word.
Yeah.
For that, and as opposed to Brave. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that was, like, again, it doesn't really bother me that much. I don't think it's a big issue.
Yeah.
I think that it's actually, if anything, might be a byproduct of Guerrilla being a small European developer. Not mm-hmm. small, but, like, not a huge European developer. And so the cultural impact of using so much, like, Native American imagery or words probably is, like, a little bit lost on them.
Yeah.
Or seems, like, less sensitive to them.
Oh, they don't, you know, I agree with that.
Live in a country where they, like, wrecked
yeah.
and wrecked and stole their land.
Right.
So I give it a pass as far as that's concerned.
Oh, yeah.
But it is something I definitely was like, huh, when I was playing it initially.
Yeah, and I think initially for me, it's because I feel the exact same way about it. And it was just like, since I just started it, I'm like, white people with dreads. What? Mm-hmm. I'm like, your hair doesn't do that. Those are just mats of unclean hair.
You just need to wash.
You need to wash your hair. You just need to wash your hair. Please.
I'm excited because you really haven't gotten to any of the fucky boys mm-hmm. in it. And there's so many fucky boys in that game.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of my friends that have been playing it. This is a couple months ago, like closer when the game actually came out. And that was like the game everybody was playing, if that wasn't Zelda. Watching people play it and then post screen caps, I'm like, these are some cute ass boys in here. So
yeah, they really are. There's a sort of like, it's probably why I like them. There's this like shitty dude. When you go to like take down bandit camps, there's a dude who you keep coming across who's definitely looks sort of like, I think, Asian. Mm-hmm. He just has really cool armor, and he is sort of an ex-mercenary type.
Yeah.
So he actually, like, really enjoys killing bandits. Like, not innocent people, but he, like, takes a lot of pleasure in killing bad guys.
Yeah.
Aloy's kind of off-put by that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's, like, super fucky. Also, the tribes, they're, like, their war general. Her son is also beautiful. But yeah, nice. There's just, that game just has a really, there's so many characters that are NPCs and not even the important NPCs mm-hmm. that are really beautifully like their models are really pretty and unique. Yeah. And the facial expressions in that game are amazing.
They're really good. And kind of going back to your point, like the first two side quests that I got when the game first starts, one is with like an Asian man and his daughter. And then mm-hmm. there's one with a black woman trying to find her brother who they also say is also special needs.
He is.
Which is really cool that they even have addressed that in that way. And I'm like, these performances of people, of even the NPCs, were really good. Because, like, usually, you know, how did, like, the, like, NPC voice lines are always kind of, like, bare minimum or kind of, like, phoned in.
And their animation rigging is, like, super robotic because it's obviously, like, there was no mocap.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's mocap for those characters, but even if there wasn't, like, I can't imagine they did mocap for everything. That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
But, like, whatever they use as a baseline is really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good secondary animations that are happening with those characters that is really good. That's really, really good. And it's so easy to fall into, like, that uncanny valley thing, which the game doesn't do. It's beautiful. I'm not off-put by it. Like, it kind of in the same way that I feel about Uncharted, how it's very photorealistic, mm-hmm. but it still has clear art direction.
Absolutely.
So they're obviously, these characters are photorealistic, but there's still like care taken into the design. So like, it's really, It's really nice to look at. I kind of like when I was playing Zelda, I would just find myself stopping and not doing anything in the game and just looking at the game. It's really nice. I'm enjoying it.
There's so many times where, like, when Aloy is talking, I'm just looking at her forehead and mm-hmm. her eyebrows.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
like, there's so much... There's a lot of anime. You don't usually see that, but, like, her nose moves pretty independent from, like, her face.
Yeah.
And which they don't do that often either.
Yeah.
And her nose and eyebrows, like, both, like... There's just a lot of emotion they communicate just through, like, her forehead, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, really interesting. Which is, like, how actual people look when they talk.
Yeah.
That engine, Gorilla's... It's their own proprietary engine called the Decima mm-hmm. engine. That's what Kojima's gonna use for Death Stranding. So, okay. Death Stranding should look pretty dope.
Yeah.
It's an impressive game, especially coming out of a developer who... Their previous stuff, wasn't great. Like, the Killzone series is just... I don't know, Killzone was just never that good to
Never
me.
That good, yeah.
I always tried a pretty mediocre first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you're enjoying it.
Yeah, it's really good.
The mechanical designs of the robots in that game are also just mind-blowing.
They're mind-blowingly good. They're so good.
When you come across a tall neck... Mm-hmm. Which are like, it's kind of like towers in Assassin's Creed. You climb them and then it gives you map visibility. Mm-hmm. Do yourself a favor and just watch how their feet articulate
mm-hmm.
when they walk. Like, they have like a lot of toes.
Yeah.
Or like what would be similar to toes. Just like watch their toes for a minute. It is like the animation and how they articulate is really, really mind blowing. It's really cool.
I'll have to check that out. Noted. Watch toes.
Watch some toes. Watch some animal toes. Sounds like I have a weird fetish.
Yeah.
cool. Yeah, keep me updated on that.
I will.
I'm curious to see how, like, blown your mind gets as you keep going through
it. I've really been enjoying it so far. And I've been playing Overwatch because of the Summer Games is back. Mm-hmm. And because I'm garbage, I bought loot boxes.
Oh, no.
But... I got a lot of stuff.
Oh, nice.
So the drop rates they have, like, they I think they have fixed them, or are they in the process of fixing them still?
Mm-hmm.
But I got a lot of, like, purples and golds. And cool. it was of all stuff that I didn't have.
How many did you buy?
I just did 24.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it, but I was like, what if I don't do it during summer, I can more justify maybe doing it during Halloween.
Yeah.
Which is all the skins that I love the most.
The Halloween skins are really good. Yeah.
And I have them on PC, but I don't have them on PS4. So yeah. I was like, I need that Mercy Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a thirst. I have a real thirst.
Because that is the fuckiest character design in Overwatch.
Yes, it is. Even now that there's a Widowmaker, like, bikini one, the witch is still way fuckier.
But even... And I mentioned this on Twitter, that Widowmaker's, like, bikini skin is pretty tame.
Yeah, it's pretty, like... It reminds me of, like, classy Hollywood starlet, like,
yeah.
1950s-y, mm-hmm. like, bikini, as opposed to, look at this shit. Like, they even put, like, a wrap around her lower body.
Yeah, she has like a little like wrap like covering her lady bits, which is and it covers her butt too, which is like this is surprising. I think it covers her butt.
Does it cover her butt? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does. Yeah. I think and that's the case. Like I think you see like less Widowmaker ass
yeah.
in that skin than any other skin.
Yeah, than in her default skin, which it's just like all you see is her giant shiny metal ass.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Not even metal, but just shiny. Her just shiny. Ass.
But it looks metal.
But it does look. It looks like a very well polished chrome butts.
Maybe that's one of Widowmaker's bionic parts, because most Overwatch people have a bionic part.
Is this her whole ass?
Yeah, I don't think Widowmaker has one that we know of. So it's just her booty.
Man, that would be bionic booty would be such a better game than Bionic Commando.
Oh my god.
Because like that new Bionic, like they recently rebooted Bionic Commando
with the hot dog arm.
Yeah, oh god. Like yeah, it, like What doesn't make sense to me, this is, I'm totally getting off topic, but...
No, no, it's fine. I sold out recently to you is like 2006? Like, when did that game come... I'm gonna look it up.
So it came out, like, a couple years before Marvel vs. Capcom 3, because Spencer from that game is in it. And I'm like, why? The game was not good. So why are they putting in Marvel vs. Capcom? It's so dumb. But
2008.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that's Rearmed. What's
the Violet Commando.
Where's the other one? Because Rearmed was just like a remake of the old game.
Yeah.
Bionic Commando.
And Spencer is a person of color. I think I want to hope that he's a person of color because he's got dreadlocks.
Oh, 2009, I guess, was...
Yeah.
No, what? Where is this? I just want to find... now I'm going to get stuck in like a Wikipedia. Bionic Commando, Wikipedia.
But while you're still looking for that, but... So my games went a lot better when I played Overwatch recently because I hadn't played it much since being back from Hawaii because I've been so busy with getting ready for Country Roll Expo and working on Black Mage that I haven't had a whole lot of time to play Overwatch. So when I did, I'm like, man, I am shitty at this game. But I played it again like 2 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And did really well. And I finally played on the Lunar Base map, the new one that they put up.
Yes.
It's really good. I really like that map a lot. I think it's really fun.
Yeah, I finally tried playing Doomfist, and I was like, it's going to take... I'm not good with Doomfist. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to figure that out, because you are so... Everything's close melee range, but you are so squishy.
Yeah, and you're so big.
And you're such a big target.
Such a big boy.
So I was like... I was definitely getting killed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
2009, was Bionic Commando. Mm-hmm. With his weird hot dog bionic arm.
So stupid.
Would you grapple stuff? So in your Bionic Booty game, would you still grapple things but just with your butt?
So it would be, it's like your butt has like all these augmented abilities. So
is it your whole butt shooting off? Like, that's what I imagine, is that your entire butt shoots off and then your cheeks just like clasp around things.
Yeah, or like I think that like each cheek could have its own, like the left cheek and the right cheek could have its own loadouts.
So they go in different directions when you shoot them off?
Yeah, they can go in different directions, but in the customize, like, because clearly in Bionic Booty you would be able to customize your booty. The left cheek and the right cheek are independently, two independent cheeks that you can customize.
Mm-hmm.
So
it, like, you're almost talking about Nier Automata. You're so close.
It's like Nier Automata and Keijo.
Like, oh yeah, all that booty. Yeah, and Keijo. Oh my god. It's like I have to customize my loadout and also pick what ass I want. Here's your bionic ass skin.
Yes.
Well, that was a good conversation.
Yeah, so let's move on to some some topics, some things that are happening.
Wait, real quick, I just wanted to say.
What?
So literally like 90% of the time I've been playing Overwatch stuff, I've just been playing Lucio Ball, because I love Lucio Ball. I like that mode way too much.
So I made a really, really bad shitpost.
Oh, God. Yeah, please bring people who get to escape your shit posting by not following you but listen to the podcast. Give them no place to hide.
Like, really? And this was like last year when the Summer Games event started. So this was right around when the game came out.
Oh, good. So it's old shit posting.
Yeah,
great.
It's an old shit post.
This is great radio.
And every time I kept hearing people say Lucio Ball, Lucio Ball, I kept hearing Lucille Ball.
Oh, yeah.
And so just... really crappily photoshopped Lucille Ball's head onto Lucio's body.
TJ, I'm glad you wasted 38 seconds of our podcast with this story.
You're welcome. It was really bad. It was really
okay,
bad.
But here's, if you're listening to the podcast, find that tweet, go back through TJ's tweet history, which is going to take you a minute because TJ tweets a lot, and resurrect that tweet. Start giving it likes and like resurrect it. Start reposting it.
I'm gonna find it and delete it.
Make DJ confused about why all of a sudden this old ass tweet from before he was verified.
Yeah, pre-verified me.
Yeah, so maybe if you guys retweet it a bunch and like it a bunch, he'll get de-verified for such a bad shit post.
For such a bad tweet, because man, before I was verified, I was just, you know, was just reckless and free.
Just do anything. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, I'm certainly glad I brought up Lucia Ball so we could go down that hole. Anyway.
Thanks.
Y'all. Topics.
Yeah. So I think we should do Nick Robinson first so that we can just get it out of the way.
Fuck, yeah. Okay, cool. So, yeah, last week we talked about, obviously, the Nick Robinson stuff. What was going on with all of that. And if you didn't hear or don't remember, basically there was allegations against him about sexual harassment in some fashion that came up after he was basically shitposting about Overcooked.
Mm-hmm.
And he got called out, and then a bunch of people kind of came to vaguely confirm it without receipts, but to sort of confirm that it was a thing. So Vox, Verge and Vox Media opened an investigation on it. A couple days later, it was confirmed that he would be let go from Polygon, and he also released a statement.
Mm-hmm.
He's been pretty much silent on social media since all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted when it came up. I was pretty torn about the statement at first because, as someone who like consumes a lot of his stuff, mm-hmm. and generally liked him, mm-hmm. as a personality, I think I gave the statement like a little bit more, and I know the first like 30 minutes, hour, I gave it a little bit more due than it deserved. And then I kept going back and looking at it and getting angrier, or not even angrier, just more just like, no, I was wrong. This is a bad apology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really easy to find the apology if you want to.
Yeah.
The overall, I think, gist of it though is there are like, let's say like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like 8 paragraphs. And then like one like sentence long paragraph. That's like a tiny sentence. Out of those 8 paragraphs, he is apologizing really only in one, let's see, sort of 2, sort of 3, 4, 5. So like just over half. There's a huge amount of this apology that is like, well, first of all, he never says he sexually harassed anyone, which I don't know if that's a legal
mm-hmm.
thing that he's not admitting to it for, if there's like legal proceedings happening or what.
Yeah.
He basically says that he didn't realize that some of his flirting was unwanted, which doesn't sound like what anyone said was happening. It didn't sound like it was just benign flirting that people didn't want, which is technically sexual harassment.
Yep.
But the severity of it sounded much worse. There were some posts from people after the statement was made that seemed to further confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some fairly upset posting from people that would be people that I think know or mm-hmm. have some experience that seemed like more upset after the fact.
Yeah.
So it seems like a half-assed apology.
Yeah.
A lot of the apology was like, not that long ago, I had a really small following online. I never imagined that I'd be getting messages from people about like how much the stuff I makes, you know, makes them happy. I never imagined that I would have like there'd be fan art with my dumb face on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a lot of like, I never imagined that I'd be popular to get to finally saying that I didn't appreciate that I'm in a position of power and the responsibility that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ashamed at my actions. And it's like, it just is weird that it's like, no, I mean, you should be ashamed of your actions no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, just because you are popular and have a lot of Twitter followers and you're verified and everything else,
yeah.
Like, this is still, like, you were in a position to use your power in a shitty way over other people.
Mm-hmm.
And abuse it, for sure. But your baseline actions, as far as what it seems to be the case, is just bad in general.
Yeah.
Like, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the closest he gets to it is, I think he apologizes. He says, like, you know, what I always thought of as flirting can quickly become something more insidious when one of the people is in a position of power. I totally failed to recognize this. So it's still like him, like, there's almost an admission there, mm-hmm. but still not really. And he says that, you know, he's taken the time to reflect. He's embarrassed and he's sorry. Which is all good stuff, but it just still feels to me like a kind of half-assed apology that doesn't really fully admit or acknowledge the extent to which it sounds like he was being shitty to people. And I'm kind of a big believer that you can't actually get better if you don't fully admit and acknowledge, like, the extent of your actions and how bad they were.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fairly disappointing as an apology overall.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the tweet right now, and this to me this feels like an iOS press release is what it feels like to me.
Right. Yeah.
Like it feels like an iOS press release, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that he actually is sorry for his actions, but the message doesn't feel that way.
It feels almost made by committee, you know? It feels like he went online and typed up a, like, apology for sexual harassment on Twitter template. Like, he Googled that and then found one and then, like, you know, slapped his name in the appropriate blanks. Like filled it out like a Mad Lib, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, the only way at this point that anyone that when something like this happens beyond admitting what you're doing is, like, actually following through with it. So at this point, he just has to be serious about this. And yeah, like, to me, I felt like all of this was, like, wrapped up in a bunch of humble brags.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. That's what it feels
like. It's like, I didn't realize it was this popular. I didn't realize I was, you know, it kind of felt like that to me. So I was kind of, like, off-put by it. I understand from framing it from a standpoint was I did not, like, I understand framing it in a way that I didn't understand that me being as visible as I am came with more severe ramifications for my actions.
Yes.
Like, that, cool.
That's the only sentence you need about that, though.
Right. You, like, and, yeah. And that's, yeah, and, like, none of that, none of the other, like, eight paragraphs are necessary.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's an apology is not an apology if it seems like it was made for you, mm-hmm. right? And this apology seems like it was made for him. Like, it seems like he wrote this apology for himself, for some sort of own, like, self-absolution or to make himself feel better in a way. An apology is for the person that you wronged.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much out of this, like, one-page document. There's just so much of it that has nothing to do with the victims and has nothing to do with apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
I understand to some degree, like, I think one of the first things I tweeted about it is, like, him saying explicitly, like, I didn't realize that this was a thing I was doing is valid. Because one of the first tweets I said was, like, I recognize that person because I've been that person.
Yeah.
Like, I've been that person who has for sure had shitty behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And not maliciously, but just one of those things where it's like, I didn't realize at the time, like, the severity of what I was doing. I don't ever think that, like, you think it's the right thing to do. I don't think you ever, like, take those actions and go, like, this was, you know, and really know deeply that it was totally okay. I think that you can trick yourself into knowing that because you don't want to feel guilty. But I don't think you ever do this stuff and actually really deeply feel like this is totally okay and normal, okay behavior. I think you justify it to yourself to make yourself not feel bad.
Right.
But I understand, like, I understand not quite being mature yet in some degrees.
Yep.
And I understand being there because I've been there. And I don't want to be super judgmental of that. But at the same time, he's a grown man. The same way I'm a grown man.
Yep.
And if you're going to apologize and admit like this, like, just the, like you said, the form that this took seemed to be so much about him, so much humble bragging, so much stuff that wasn't at all about, like, you know, you can't guarantee that you're going to make the people that you wronged feel better.
Right.
Right. But the purpose of an apology is to try to help the people that you feel wronged feel better.
Yeah.
And if not feel better, at least let them know that you realize that you fucked up and that you are going to try to make it up to them in whatever way you can. Or if they don't want anything to fucking do with you, which is their right, it's not about you making it up to them. It's about you validating how it's about you being able to validate their feelings, it coming from you, because it's really easy if the thing that you're feeling about the situation is not being validated, validated, it's easy for you to feel like you're crazy or you're wrong.
Yeah.
So those are all like really important parts of that process. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that to me is missing in this apology.
Yeah. And I just happened to look at a couple of the replies to this, because I did see a couple of things in here that I thought helped me kind of understand how I felt about it when I read it. There was something that I read here. I'm not going to say the name of the individual, but they're saying that that what the majority of people's problems with his apology is that it's him focusing primarily on the power dynamic, which is fine because it's absolutely part of it, but not admitting that anything that he did himself was inappropriate.
Yes, that the apology overall, I think, feels like not so much an apology for doing it, but an apology that he got famous enough to get caught and it be an issue.
And it feels like he's like, oh, I'm sorry that I didn't know. And it's like, I'm not sorry for what I did, but I'm sorry that I didn't know that what I did would cause this to happen.
Which, like, he surrounded himself with people that are, like, very woke as far as, like, all of this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He works incredibly close with Griffin McElroy, who, for the most part, as far as I can tell, is really vocal about this sort of shit. Mm-hmm. He works at Polygon, which has a bunch of women working for them.
Yeah.
And again, all sort of really vocal about this sort of thing. So it's not like he was like in a weird echo chamber of a bunch of other dudes who were just like, oh, this is fine. He's surrounded by people every day.
Yeah.
So it just seems weird to be like, oh, I just didn't know. When you're like in a friend group and work group and social group that is all like pretty on top of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I think that's accurate. There are some tweets from people that, pretty upset tweets from people after the fact, that had been silent, I think, before this came out. People that would know, I think, pretty personal stuff just as, because they're like, they're within sort of that friend circle. And I could talk to you about who after, it's on Twitter, but I don't want to like,
podcast. Let's not do that.
But just them pretty much saying, like, he's always been like this. This isn't, like, a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always been like this and has always done this sort of stuff. And he doesn't appear to be learning from this, if this is what his apology is.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
Which sucks. Mm-hmm. It super sucks. I don't take any pleasure in any of that. Like, I want people to get better.
Yeah.
And I think people also want to get better. I think people want to get better without having to admit to themselves how much they fucked up.
Yeah.
And without having to really self-evaluate, like, genuinely.
Yeah.
And so people don't get better.
Right, because we talked about this last week when we were saying that being introspective and self-reflection is very hard for a lot of people. And rather than to actually do that, they just want to say, oh, well, I want to be better. But, like, part of you being better is understanding what it is that you did and how that affects others. Like, one doesn't come without the other, because I think that then becomes the difference between someone who was nice and then someone who was kind. Cause like you could be an asshole and do nice things for people, but that's not the same as being kind.
Like, nope, I agree.
Yeah.
Cool. So disappointing.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I don't want to speculate on him, and neither do you, and I think I can speak for both of us that we hope that he does learn something from this, and that he does genuinely get better and doesn't do shit like this again in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's all on him. There's nothing that we can do about it. I just hope that all of the people that are directly involved with this or have been directly affected by this are doing okay or feeling better from it. But I don't know how much better they're going to feel considering this is the apology that the quote unquote apology that they got. So who knows?
Also, I think it's important to, this wouldn't have happened if people didn't speak up.
Yep.
So I think it's really, really important to encourage, you know, if you're experiencing this sort of stuff, mm-hmm. I know it's like terrifying to speak up.
Yeah.
And it's also not just terrifying. It can be detrimental to your career, mm-hmm. to your social circles, everything else. Mm-hmm. I think there's always someone out there, I think, that you can talk to.
Yeah.
And it's, if you are that person being talked to, or, if you are also someone who has dealt with this from that person and you see someone else, it's so important for people, I think, to band together,
yeah.
and do this in a unified matter, mm-hmm. because, it's less scary if everyone who it's happening to speaks up.
Yeah.
And I think it's also like more likely that action will be taken, right? Like, mm-hmm. one person made an accusation and in Nick's Overcooked thread, mm-hmm. which turned into a thing because a bunch of people then kind of spoke up.
Yeah.
And I think the good thing about this was that people were able to speak up without having to post receipts.
Yes.
Which I think is never, ever your right to out someone else's trauma.
Right.
If someone wants to out their own trauma, that's fine. So I'm glad that we didn't see that either, because I think that can get really ugly,
yeah,
and be really detrimental to the victims, mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. So yeah, just if you're feeling that way, there's always someone to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And if you're someone that's being talked to, support those people, believe them, you know, offer them your love.
Absolutely. And that's all we have to say about that. I'm glad that we got that out of the way first. Let's talk about happy things. So this just happened to crop up today on social media, and now it's like all over the blogs, but apparently that an HD port of Okami is coming for PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah, they're saying a holiday, which I'm really excited about because I never played Okami. Like, I played like the first
I played very hour little of it. Wii. Very yeah. little of it.
And I've heard it's an excellent Zelda game.
Yes. Yes.
Like, super good.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to playing it on PS4. If that is in fact a thing that is happening,
I believe PS4 and Xbox One are the two mm-hmm. things you're talking about it coming to.
Yes.
So yeah,
yes,
be very cool.
I would very much like to play that. And Sonic Mania is coming out tomorrow, which is super exciting.
My special edition is coming in tomorrow.
Yeah.
My little Sonic statue.
oh man.
I also, like, I remember I pre-ordered it forever ago. Like, pre-ordered it the moment that there was a thing for it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it was back when I gave a fuck about playing games on my Xbox. Because I wasn't playing much of anything on it. So I was like, I should buy this for my Xbox so I actually will play something on it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I almost wish I had waited to be able to play it on the Switch.
Yeah.
Because I think the Switch is such a good place for it. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if I'm super trash and if I buy it, like, on the Switch down the road also. Because I want to have it portable.
Yeah.
It's getting pretty good reviews, though. For the most part, it's pretty positive. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, it has a lot of the same issues that old Sonic games have. But if you like old Sonic games, it is...
Then it's not. Then it's a non-issue for you, pretty much.
Then it's perfect, yeah.
Yeah. And I want to also use this opportunity to give a big, huge shout-out to my longtime friend. Like, we've been friends since high school. Tyson Hess, for directing that incredible opening trailer for the game.
Yes, absolutely. I think I've talked about my embarrassing Tyson Hess story on the show before, haven't I?
No, I think you just told my boyfriend the story.
Oh my god.
And you told it to him. Yeah, because it was at Emerald City. We talked about it with him at Emerald City.
Did I tell Tyson directly at Emerald City?
Yes, that you healed up to him, because when we were at BarCon at the Sheraton, we were all talking with Tyson because we were all drinking.
God. Yeah, I was probably drunk and or high because weed is legal in Seattle.
Yeah,
and so I spent a lot of Emerald City Comic Con doing edibles, mm-hmm. and then just walking around Seattle because it was like really relaxing.
Yeah.
And it does good things for my anxiety. Mm-hmm. So Tyson, that short, if you haven't watched it, it's the opening, the animated opening for Sonic Mania, which has this amazing track by Hyper Potions called Friends, which is on Spotify. Mm-hmm. I was listening to it driving to work today and getting like like having like my chest was getting tight. Like I was like, oh god, I'm gonna like I was getting like weird nostalgia, wanna cry feelings. Which is stupid because that doesn't happen to me. Like I cry pretty easy, but I don't. That doesn't happen to me that often. So I'm gonna be a mess when I actually like probably play it. But no, it's watching that opening. It's the most perfect to me. It's the most perfect way to represent Sonic. Like it captures the tone of like the really playful, fun tone of Sonic, and like still sort of like the 90s. Like you know, he's got an attitude, but overall like super friendly. Even like some goofy faces. But yeah, Tyson did Sonic comics, which was a bunch of these like super hilarious and hyper absurd and ridiculous comics he did, which got huge. And for a long time, he sort of lamented how big those comics got because they were just like sort of like a dumb side project versus like he was known for that as opposed to being known for other stuff for quite a long time. The first time I met him, he was tabling at AWA. And AWA, the artist alleys, it was like right after Heelys came out. And I was too old to be wearing Heelys. artist alleys are usually like just, I mean, like so much like 100 yards of just like sealed concrete. Yep. So it's the perfect thing to Heely on. Okay, here's what I'm gonna say. I feel like you can't. If you're going to have so many people on fucking Iohawk hoverboards, I don't know how you're going to, like, get on people's cases about helium. Because, like, it's almost the same thing.
Yes.
Like, they both look really stupid. Yes. You look like an idiot on both of them.
Yes.
And they're both kind of fun.
Yeah.
and you can also bust your ass on both of them really bad if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I had bought a pair of Heelys and had, like, very rare, like almost no reasons. I'd be like, oh fuck, am I going to Costco today? I can wear my Heelys. And then I'd be like, I can't Heely around Costco, that's too embarrassing. But I had to, like, it's hard to use them because there's so rare places where it's like smooth enough for it. Tyson had his table and I was super into a lot of his stuff, into he had been posting like early stuff for Diesel at the time, and I like Heelied up to his table and was just like, I didn't have like any money really, so I was just like, hey, I really love your stuff. I love your Sonic comics. They're really good. And he was just like, okay. And like now, like that was before I wasn't, that was before I was dating someone who works at Artist Alleys all the time. And so now when I think back on it, I'm like, I healed up to an artist table to tell them I like their art and then walked away and didn't buy anything. And just like, like the worst, like just the worst. How can I combine so many terrible, stupid things into one action? So I was super embarrassed for a long time. And then DJ was like, oh, me and Tyson are like, we go way back. And I was like, great.
I love him. He's such a sweetie face. I love him to pieces. And I'm super proud of him.
He really, really is. And it's rad. It's been rad to watch. I don't know him super personally, but getting to talk to him at Emerald City Comic Con, he was amazing. He's always been super nice.
Yeah.
And just getting to watch him do his thing, work on Sonic comics for a long time.
Yeah. Like he's such a good person. And he was actually the person that taught me how to use Photoshop.
Oh, wow.
So I owe him learning how to do digital coloring. I owe that to him. And it was, you know, it's amazing to see your friends like really thrive and do something really awesome and get the recognition they deserve for working so hard on something. So it's been awesome to watch his career take off and for him to do all the amazing things that he has done in the past and will continue to do going forward. So yeah, if you're listening to this, you know I love you to pieces. I texted you the day that the trailer came out that I was so proud of you and that I love you and all that stuff. So yeah, that's my buddy.
I like as a fan, it's been really cool to like watch his art develop.
Yeah.
And just like if you're enjoying Sonic Mania this week, go check out Tyson's stuff, support him, buy some stuff, because I think it's a game that's made by the fans. Like Sega really gave the reins of that game over to, I mean, it's made by a guy who is making Sonic mods
yep.
And making Sonic fan games. everyone that worked in that game is a huge, huge Sonic fan. Mm-hmm. That game wouldn't have happened, I think, without that. So if you're enjoying it, it's because those, if you're enjoying it, it's because those people kept making work and kept doing things in that series and that with that character that for the most part has become a joke.
Yeah.
So yeah, give them some love this week too.
Yeah, please, please do.
Cool. Yes, I'm very excited for tomorrow. That'll be what I'm doing for probably a good chunk of the week.
Same.
Let's see. What else we got going on? Oh, DJ.
Mm-hmm.
The 2024 Olympics are considering esports. What are your feelings about
what
that?
What if at the Olympics? What if
what? Uh-huh.
They had a Super Smash Brothers Super Smash Brothers as an Olympics game. Oh my god, it would be so awful and embarrassing.
DJ, you have 8 years to get Olympic ready.
Oh my god.
And also be way too old probably
god,
to be in esports.
I'm so old. Like,
I feel like fighting games, I think, skew a little bit, not older, but like, I feel like people stay in fighting games longer in that scene.
The only fighting games that skew older are like Street Fighter and Tekken.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two that skew to like mid to late 20s and early 30s.
Oh, yeah. Daigo's 36.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
There's no one in esports that's 36.
Yeah. So, yeah, it would just be hilarious. I honestly could see the trajectory of like Dota 2 and things of that nature crossing over into that realm. I know that it would definitely be because people's reactions to seeing Street Fighter on ESPN2 and like Dota 2 on like those kind of networks, people are like, what the fuck is a video game doing on here? They're not doing anything and this and that. And it's like, they might not be running and tackling people physically with their bodies, but the amount of like dexterity and precision and mental sharpness you have to play any competitive game at a high level is huge.
I mean, it's funny to me because when you I think the only issue is that esports, people over the age of like 30 for the most part just don't get esports.
Yep.
And it's because it's a brand new form of sports.
Yep.
Like every other sport that people are into has been around since like the early 19, at least in like professional manners, like the early 1900s, right? Yep. Like football and soccer and baseball. And they pre-exist that as just games that were played in general.
Mm-hmm.
But like you've had the NFL for forever. You've had the MLB. You've had like FIFA for forever. And it's also very, very easy, I think, to understand sports, traditional sports on a base level. You see big sweaty boys and ladies running around and there's a goal and you know to like cheer for that, if nothing else.
Yep.
But when you get into it, there's a fuck ton of rules. Baseball is like nothing but rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like really, really intense rules. And so I think really what it is people don't, I think in my experience, cause I like some sports.
Yeah.
The more you understand a sport and how it works, I think the more you're likely to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the bar of entry from a sports is just like not understanding. I think a lot of my nerd friends don't like traditional sports because they don't know what's going on.
Right.
I agree. And I think that's what esports is for a lot of people. So I think it's, I know you always hear people talk about with traditional sports, the mental, like the mental burden, you know, games are certainly about your physical capabilities, but when it comes down to it between like two teams in a championship, that game is usually won based on mental, like mental fortitude,
yeah,
dealing with pressure. Esports is no different. TI just happened this weekend, which is Dota 2's The International, which is their biggest tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't... I've played Dota like twice. I've played enough MOBAs to understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But like Dota is like Heroes of the Storm and even League on steroids. It's so much more complicated.
Yeah.
So even for me watching it, it's a little bit confusing. But I understand like the basics. And esports develops the same story as that real sports does. Liquid got knocked out their first Liquid was in the winner's bracket their first round and lost and got knocked down to the loser's bracket. They won every loser's bracket match. Not every game. Some of them, most of them were best 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. So some of them, they went, you know, 2-1. Yeah. But they had to win every match in a row, and they crawled all the way back up to the grand finals and won the grand finals. Yeah. That's a very easy sports story to understand.
Yeah, it definitely. Is
the Cinderella story, you know?
Absolutely.
And especially versus a very, especially this year, the Chinese teams were so dominant. Mm-hmm. And they often are in Dota. And Liquid is a team that is like three or four different countries. It's a super diverse team.
Yeah.
And like, those are stories that I think if people are open to just understanding some of the basics, and then learning about the game even a little bit, you can get into it just as much. It's, to me, it's just as exciting.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I completely agree.
So I think it's actually really smart of Paris to be looking 8 years in the future and being like, cool, how can we, not 8 years, sorry, 2017. Oh my God, it's 2017. Mm-hmm. Seven years in the future. And be going like, cool, how can we engage a younger audience in the Olympics, which I get because like younger people don't watch TV.
Yeah.
And also like, I'm not like shitting on any Olympic sports, but there are some Olympic sports that like no one fucking watches that like don't even get aired on TV properly.
Yeah.
And esports pulls in a lot of viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So from a purely like financial perspective for them, it makes sense to have some esports.
There is money to be had and money to be made in that lane. So I hope that people take advantage of it.
I mean, the pot for Dota itself this year was $24 million.
Jesus Christ. That is,
yeah, if you were top 16, I think every top 16 you made some sort of increment, but the winning team made almost $11 million.
Wow.
Split across the team, which is nuts.
That's crazy.
TJ, what sports do you think, or what games would you think would be in there? I would imagine Dota.
I would definitely say Dota 2 off the top. I still think Overwatch is too new.
I agree. I think CSGO, because CSGO is pretty, again, it's a pretty international audience, mm-hmm. and it has an established esports scene.
Yeah. I think, well, if we're gonna flash forward 8 years into the future, if thinking of it in that way, potentially Overwatch could be there if this is 8 years, like 7 or 8 years from now, potentially. I'm just thinking of right now as it stands, like if that were tomorrow, absolutely not.
No. I think Overwatch still needs to figure out how to show games better for esports. Because yeah. I don't watching Overwatch for esports is to me still a little hard.
Yeah. So I have a hard time watching an Overwatch stream just because I feel like it's from one player's perspective and not, you can't see the entire thing going on, I guess.
Yeah. And like, I feel like Dota 2 and CSGO, they have things built into them specifically for casting. Mm-hmm. Like there's specific views and camera modes and stuff, mm-hmm. that are just for that.
Yes.
And I think Overwatch has maybe some of that's being developed, but right now it's really hard to get a really proper idea of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
To me during matches, whereas Dota has that like that overhead top person view and you have to deal with the camera zipping around a lot, mm-hmm. but you're always really watching it from one view for the most part. Yeah. That makes sense of things.
Yeah. So like as fun and competitive as Overwatch is, it's not an easy game to watch. At least as of right now, it's not an easy game to watch. So I think if they can somehow make it exciting for people to watch, that's one thing. I definitely could see Street Fighter there.
Oh, for sure.
Because that's a really easy game to watch. It is two characters on a screen fighting each other. It's really easy to watch a Street Fighter tournament.
I don't know what viewership numbers are, but I would imagine Evo is maybe bigger viewership than Dota. Because, again, like we talked about approachability, mm-hmm. a fighting game is... Most people have played... Like, even if they're not video... If they're not gamers, most people know what Street Fighter is. Most people have played a fighting game. Mm-hmm. They understand how it works very easily.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that would be a good one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Evo is so established. It's a huge, huge thing in Vegas now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really... Yeah, Evo's a really big deal. And those viewership numbers are crazy for it. So, and it's funny because every year that I watch it, I see more and more people that I didn't think watched competitive fighting games, like tweeting about it and talking about it on social media. And I'm like, this is crazy. I didn't think this is kind of that this is really your thing, but yeah,
it's the hype.
Yeah, it's hype. It's and it's really easy to watch.
Yeah, it's how I feel about like I don't watch football at all during the year.
Yeah,
but I'll watch some of the playoffs sometimes, especially if there's a team like if Atlanta's in the playoffs doing well, or like the Super Bowl. I had a Super Bowl party last year, and I was like, "Hey guys, this isn't a like let's make fun of the Super Bowl party. This is a are you a nerd and you don't really understand football super well, but you want to have somewhere to watch it that is like cool with you not knowing what's going on terribly well? Come over to my place and watch it. And also, if you just want to come watch it because you know football and you like it, and it was so fun and." Friends of mine that never like show interest in football were like having a blast.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it absolutely could work.
Yeah.
I think it's smart.
Yeah, I think it could work. So we'll see what the future holds in 2024 in Paris.
If we're here.
If we're not, you know.
If we're not living in a nuclear like post-apocalypse.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Oh man. So yeah, apparently, Nintendo is having a special panel at PAX.
What are you up to, Reggie?
What are you guys doing? So
Reggie got some secrets.
It could literally be anything, and it could literally be nothing because it's
Reggie,
Nintendo.
What are you doing, Reggie? You better tell me, Reggie.
You need to fucking tell me what the hell's going on over there in that treehouse, Reggie.
Bill, you're the nice cop. Bill, tell me. Bill Trinan?
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on, Bill.
Tell me what's going on up in there. So,
just slide on my DMs. Tell me what's going on, Bill.
For real. So, this is what the article on Silicon Era says. PAX West 2017 is just a few weeks away, and Nintendo was set to have a presence at the event. According to PAX West's schedule, which is revealed recently, Nintendo will be holding a, in quotes, special panel. The panel will be held at the Hydra Theater on September 2nd between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m.
And like that you went to that official announcer voice.
And
like,
what will be shown at the panel is unknown. As of right now, the panel is only described as a special Nintendo panel at PAX West 2017 with one exclamation point.
DJ, just go work at Nintendo. Just be like, just do it.
That was your interview right there. I have friends that work thing. There, and I'm like, y'all, just like,
go fucking work at Treehouse. Let me just
be in there. I can't.
You literally just did a like on today's Nintendo Minute. Like that was you right now.
That's all that I want to do is be that guy on Nintendo Treehouse. I'm like, hey, I'm really excited about Nintendo games. Let's talk about the shit that we've been cooking up in our Treehouse. And
all I want to do is be one of those beautiful, fucky people on the couch at their Treehouse E3 playing Nintendo games.
Can we be those people for them, Nintendo?
What if we just sit on a couch and play Nintendo games into our own that have been out for a while? And we're like, listen, these aren't the new Nintendo games, but...
Yeah, but we have words to say about games.
I'm just kidding. I would do it.
Yeah.
I would. Okay, DJ, here's what we're gonna do.
Okay.
We're both going to take a week off of work. Okay. We're going to fly to Seattle. Yeah. We're going to sit outside Nintendo headquarters, and we're going to set up a couch on their front lawn with a camera, and we're just going to live stream ourselves playing video games and, like, welcome to this unofficial Nintendo, tree. We'll say like tree house, but we'll spell house weird, like with like a umlaut. It's like H-A-U-S.
Yeah,
And also be like, we'll have a sign that says, "Please don't sue us, Nintendo." In the background, we just really want a job.
Yeah, we just really want to work here, you guys.
Yeah, that's all we want. Just hire both of us.
We'd be great diversity hires, please.
We're great. Yeah, it's like, do you want some queer brown people? Well, here, you just hit the fucking jackpot.
Here, you hit the fucking jackpot.
You can barely see me against this dark tan couch.
Yeah.
let's go, Nintendo.
Yeah, for real. Oh my god. Like that's still a dream. I would love to work for Nintendo. And
why dream it when you can do it?
Yeah, I know. Just don't let your dreams be dreams, and don't let your memes be dreams.
Reggie, are you listening? Did you say don't let your memes
don't
be dreams?
Don't let your dreams be memes. What is it?
No, is it? I don't know.
I don't know. Words.
Saying.
Words. Yeah, don't let your Don't let your memes be dreams. Like, make that meme.
Why did memes come into it at all? Make that meme.
I don't know, man.
No, I don't want any of my memes to come true because they're all such shitpost terribleness.
Just do it. You're not verified. Be free, Ruben.
Spread your shit wings.
Spread your shitty wings.
Yeah, DJ's like, if I shitpost too much, you're gonna fly too close to that sun.
I will get a nasty letter.
Yeah, your wax verified badge will fall off.
Yeah, I just have to
dive into the shit sea with the rest of us.
There is some days I'm like, I really want to post this, but I can't.
Can you lose verified
unless you delete your account? I don't think you can lose it.
I feel like, okay, DJ, here's what I'm gonna say. I see people who are verified who are just straight up Nazis on Twitter. So I think that you're probably okay for shitposting.
Okay, because I have one that I really want to post.
Please don't deny us, DJ.
I really want to post it.
Are you doing it? Okay, DJ.
I'm not doing it right now. I'll probably do it tomorrow.
So you pick up that phone. I'm like,
no. It's so funny. It's so funny. Okay, so.
Okay, but now you're building it up. So if it's not funny, I'm gonna be very upset.
I'm gonna text it to you after the show's over. It's amazing, and it's because it's. Okay, so my old roommate.
Don't explain it. No, it's not that.
Cool. I'm not even going to say what it is. So my old roommate, George, bless that little boy. I love him. Well, he's not little, but.
My fellow Cubano.
Yeah, yes. I love him to pieces. So he specifically has a folder of images that he has on his phone of just things to piss me off.
Oh, man, there's so many things that piss you off, too.
And I'm like, why are you like this? Like, why do you do this to me? And yeah, it's a mess. And he sent me one of them, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I'm like, I love this.
So is that we're gonna ship that?
Yeah,
later?
I'm gonna ship that later.
This? Okay. DJ, this is not related, but I think it's very cute. You keep spinning your ring on your finger.
Yeah. Like, I just keep playing with it.
You're playing with it. It's just very cute.
I'm getting married. Newly fiancé, newly engaged. Now or whatever. Oh my god. We're getting gay married.
Yeah, that's very cute. Yeah. God bless that you live in California.
I know. Mm. Oh, California.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, Reggie. Yeah. Fiz and me, Bill Trinan. I know y'all listen to this podcast. I know you do.
So I legitimately think that, like, Bill Trinan, like, ghost follows me on Twitter.
Yeah,
because he'd be liking my tweets and stuff, and I'm like, I see you, Bill. And he knows me by name. He knows who I am. He's every time that I see him, he's like, hey, DJ. I'm like, Bill Trinan knows my name and has said it to me on multiple occasions. And I've hugged Bill Trinan. He is so good.
You just touched the sun.
So I've touched the son of Nintendo.
And you lived.
And I'm here to tell the tale.
That's what I described. Bill Trinan, Nintendo's son, and Reggie Fils-a-me, Nintendo's dad.
Nintendads.
Very true.
It's like Nintendogs, but it's Nintendads.
Nintendaddies, oh no.
Yes. It's just a game about Bowser.
You open up your 3DS after not playing them with them for too long, and they're just giving you like cold shoulder, like Nintendogs.
Yeah, the Bowser's just so angry. He is a Nintendaddy. The ultimate Nintendaddy.
This is again not related to anything. Fine. I'm actually enjoying how not focused this episode
is. Good, me too.
I tweeted when the Nick Robinson stuff was happening.
Remember,
I'm blanking on the name, and this ruins the story because now I sound like a fucking douchebag. Why am I?
No,
doing
remember,
this? Austin Walker. There you go. I forgot Austin Walker's first name. Austin Walker had posted about, like, them talking about it on their podcast, and I just tweeted at him, like, hey, like, yeah, me, my, like, queer podcast, we talked about it, too, and it was just really hard, like, figuring out how to approach it, so, like, good on you for doing this. And he liked it, and I was like, oh, my God, Austin Walker liked Senpai Noticed Me. And then when he got engaged, he tweeted at you about congratulating you, and I was like, does Austin Walker know DJ?
He follows me on Twitter.
Follows me on Twitter? And I was like, fuck.
He's like the other black person in games.
Him and you, Austin Walker, and like Geeta Jackson and Evan Narcisse.
Yeah.
Are like the main four I can think of.
I like the four black people that are like in games in some capacity.
Right. But I was just like, does Austin Walker sometimes see my tweets because of DJ? Yep. Am I shit posting too much? I got so concerned. because I respect him a lot. Both him and Patrick Klepek, I think, are both amazing journalists. And I'm just like, oh, God, what's happening?
So I sometimes lay in bed at night, and I'm like...
Okay, great. And I'm like,
And I'm like, do I, looking at the ceiling, do I shitpost too much as a verified user, as a legend, icon, and star? Do I shitpost too much?
Yeah, I guess you do have that pressure.
Yeah. I don't know. But I say, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just do whatever I want. And I'm like, I wonder how many people have me muted on Twitter. I'm sure it's a lot.
I mean, only dummies. Your content's too good.
Aww. So sweet.
Aww, me being so nice.
So sweet.
Yeah, Twitter, verify me. I don't do anything worthy of it, but...
No, I mean, you probably could get verified. You have enough stuff going on.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll try. And then I'll feel like I don't deserve it. I'll have imposter syndrome.
Oh, every day, like, of my life.
I'll pay like $10 and get a bunch of fake follows from China, which is a thing that you can do. anyway, what a stupid episode. But really, Bill, Reggie, don't you want this on Treehouse? Don't you want this amazing,
like, don't you
chemistry?
Want me just like, oh, like me and Ruben just like being total shit boys? And just going to people that are actually doing, the people that are like doing like actual work, and we're like, hey, that's really neat what you're doing. Can I play it?
Yeah. So what is this? A 3D, a video game? Cool. I'm just gonna play it.
Yeah. Let me play it. Move.
Oh, you made this level? How? That's interesting. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Also, I know I'm shouting out to you, Bill and Reggie, but I would do it for anyone.
Yeah,
Phil Spencer, Xbox. You hear me? Mm-hmm. I'll do it for that. I'll play my Xbox one more. I promise.
Yeah.
Whoever.
I'll do it at Capcom, even though I talk so much shit about how I hate Street Fighter V. But I'll do it.
Kaz Harai still maybe. I don't know,
man. Video games, brown people.
I don't know. I don't know. Just if you need some gay ass
please,
brown people,
please.
We just need to make some business cards to be like queer gaming tastemakers. Yeah. Do you need queer POC influencers?
Yeah.
We got services for that.
We do. We're the boys you want.
Is that your demo you're trying to get? You're trying to get them queer POCs? I know a video game is very concerned about that.
Yeah, it's like,
that,
do you, like, so. Do you ask yourself, you just wake up and say to yourself, self, how do I get gay people to like my video game?
How?
And then you say, I should probably find some brown people, self. Let me go find some. And then we just show up. We're like, hey, we're here to fulfill that need.
We're here with our couch we bring everywhere.
Here's our couch. Yes.
Our gaming couch. You want to know how to make your game? You want to make your game more fucky? We're consultants.
Yeah, I can.
Want to make it more queer and brown?
Do
we're
that.
Consultants.
We can gay that shit up for you real good. Real good and real quick.
I know we're laughing, but Bill, Reggie, we're serious.
We're completely serious.
I like that this is the episode that we just got desperate and just started.
Please.
Screaming into a void. Please give us jobs.
Okay, so well, there are actually two more things that we can talk about really quickly.
Do they matter?
No, okay, look. So there's a Pikachu Snapchat filter.
Done. Great. Goodbye. I don't use Snapchat because I don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I don't like it. It doesn't make sense to use it for me.
It's so funny. So every time we're talking about social media, like with my boyfriend, he's like, oh, this is why I don't tweet, or like, this is why I don't do this, or this is why I don't do that. And I'm like, babe, you are literally on Snapchat every 3 seconds.
I get it, but if I was single, maybe, because I would just be using it to be a fuckboy.
Same.
Outside of that, why communicate with my friends when I can do it like a billion other ways? Mm-hmm. Why do these like impermanent ways?
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm sending.
Yeah, unless you're trying to be shady.
Yeah.
You're trying to sneak around something.
It's like shady chat.
Yeah, shady chat. I'm going
to
make that.
Mm. Mm. House of Battle.net is now called Battle.net again.
Yeah.
Great. Show's over. Done. I hope it's worth it, DJ. man, we didn't even really say, yeah, there's a Pikachu Snapchat filter. It puts like a Pikachu face on you, and then also Pikachu comes on the screen sometimes. He appears on the screen. Yeah. That's very, mm-hmm. yeah. Cool. Did you want to say more about it?
No, I don't have anything else to say about it.
Oh, now, huh? Interesting. Cool.
Are you watching any more anime?
Yeah. Fuck. Okay. All right. Yes, I am. Yeah. Made in Abyss. Go watch it. Actually, I have a caveat when I recommend. We're going to recommend Made in Abyss. I don't know if I mentioned it. It's really, really, really good. The main two characters are, one's like a very young robot boy, and the other one's a very young girl. And there is like, there's nudity in it, but it's not. I don't know. I was talking to my friend about this. Like, it's not sexualized at mm-hmm. all. And the camera doesn't linger on it. It has been in, like, multiple episodes. And, like, for reasons that, like, make sense. It's not like, oh, this character is suddenly naked. Because mm-hmm. Normally I'd be like, oh, naked? Why is this child naked in an anime? That's fucked up. But the show is, like, very, despite it being a fantastical setting, the show itself is very grounded character-wise. Mm-hmm. And it, to me at least, it feels like it's sort of like, it's more of a personality thing of, like, this character is very uninhibited. Mm-hmm. And so, like, not, and like how children can be, mm-hmm. where it's just like not having clothes on is not a thing to them. Like, they don't even understand why it's a deal. Right. And that's sort of how it comes across to me. And especially for the fact that, like, it's not sexualized at all, and it's, the camera doesn't linger, and the character's not drawn sexualized mm-hmm. at all. So I've seen people be like upset about it, which I understand to some degree. Yeah. But if you want to watch Made in Abyss, it's really, really excellent. It's really amazing. But if you think that's something that might bother you, for understandable reasons, just a heads up. But I really like it. It does not register me as
like sexual,
anything creepy at all. It just registers to me as like, I'm an uninhibited kid and like not having my shirt on because I just like, for like different reasons is not.
Was it like how like Goku was in Dragon Ball?
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of like how in Dragon Ball, you just see Goku's dick all the time. And you don't even see, like, anything in this. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't see any actual, like bits or mm-hmm. anything. But it does. It reminds me how in Dragon Ball, like, Goku was just, like, I'm naked all the time. Or, like, in, like, Shin-chan, where it's just, like, my dick is out constantly.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Oh, crayon
Shin-chan. So it doesn't bother me that way. Yeah. Oh, crayon Shin-chan. Main Abyss, Princess Principal is really trashy, but actually really enjoyable. It's, like, a sort of steampunk-ish spy girl show. I think I've mentioned before, Shingeki no Bahamut still is fucking rad, and you should definitely watch it. And that's all I can think of right now. I think I'm watching other stuff too. Oh, Beanha or My Hero Academia. Yeah,
that good old Beanha.
Good old. Oh, give me that Beanha.
I need to watch. Oh, I need to watch Saturdays. I haven't watched it yet. So yeah. If you have anime strike. Again, with a caveat, I would recommend Welcome to the Ballroom because it's a good sports anime. Those giraffe necks are so bad. Like, if you follow me on Twitter, I've posted GIFs from it. It's, oh my God. And it, like, the art is so good. Otherwise,
I get that, like, it's like the manga looks like that. But it's just it's bad.
Mm-hmm. The next are really bad.
I need to watch it. I watched the first episode and I actually enjoyed it, and it seems like it's pretty good.
It's really, I like it. I need to catch up. I watched a couple episodes back to back. I just couldn't keep watching it because I just kept looking at their necks the whole time. But yeah, it's pretty good.
It's not like an artist, like DJ's an artist, my girlfriend's an artist, so like we're sensitive to anatomy stuff.
No, it's great. No.
Anyone can see those necks and be like, something's wrong with these characters.
This is really wrong.
It's enough that I think if you didn't know what was going on, you'd think it was plot relevant. Mm-hmm. Like these aren't real humans, or like something weird is going on. Kake Gurui is still really fucky and really trashy and really good, but you can only get that illegally because Netflix has it and is not going to air it till like probably the end of the year. New game is still to me boring, but a lot of people like it. So, Mahoujin Guru Guru is really cute. It's sort of a like parody of Dragon Quest games. Okay. That's pretty fun and cute. And I think that's it from this season. I've heard mixed things about Hajimete no Gal, which is like My Girlfriend's a Gal. I like Gyaru characters a lot, so I might try it out at some point, but I haven't heard it's amazing. Also, Gyaru-chan exists. Or Gyalco Girl, rather, I think is what it was. And that show's fucking great. So if you want to watch a Gyaru character show, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's all the anime.
Yeah, check that out. So unrelated to anime, but one of my friends was so gracious enough to lend me their HBO Now login. So I'm finally watching Issa Rae's show Insecure. It's very good.
I've heard that.
It is so good. It is so good. Issa Rae is, she started off doing a YouTube series called Awkward Black Girl, and it was very, very good, and so she, and it's kind of like the precursor to what is now Insecure, and it is, it's really good. It is on HBO, so if you have it, or HBO Go, or HBO Now, or HBO Later, or whatever, you should watch that show. It's very good.
Nice joke.
It was really bad. It was a really bad joke. yeah, because it's really cool to see a show about black people that isn't about gangs or slavery or, you know, any of that stuff. It's like black people living in Southern California, just like living their lives.
Telling me that that's a thing?
Yeah.
That brown people could just have normal lives like anyone else?
It's like black and brown people.
So it might take me a moment to... It might take me a moment to process this information, DJ.
I know, like, black people, like, have, like, you know, regular desk jobs. Some of them work in nonprofits. Some of them work in tech. Some of them, you know, some of them are in music and are, you know, doing things. Some of them work at Enterprise Rental Car. Like, you know, it's... brown people do things, too. Brown people fall in love. Brown people are awkward as fuck. So, yeah, and it's cool because it's, like, it's nice to see... a show about, like, black people living their lives that are 20-somethings, late 20-somethings, like, experiencing life in Southern California and dating and being in dysfunctional relationships and all that stuff. So it's really good. I highly recommend it. You should watch it. It's very good if you have HBO.
Just to backtrack, that good Gyaru anime is Please Tell Me Gyalco-chan, which is really good because they talk about not only is it funny and cute, but they talk about like lady stuff in a way that I've never seen an anime do. Like they talk about like periods and like typically like I don't think it's gross, obviously, but what people would be like, oh, this is like gross, very like invasive lady stuff that they talk about very plainly, which is not a thing in anime usually. Yeah. So it's good. DJ's telling you to watch some like great black excellence, and I am telling you to watch more shitty anime.
And you can round it out and watch both. It's fine. Watch both of them. Do both. I often watch several episodes of some anime and then go and watch some, you know, excellent entertainment about people of color or something like that. Let's see. And I recently purchased the manga My Lesbian Experience with Loneliness, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but everybody's saying it's real good, so if you want to, you know, read some queer manga, that's a good one to read, and once I do read it, I will, you know, give you my thoughts on that, but other than that, we are, you know, almost at the hour and a half mark, which is what we usually try to shoot for the show, and...
Can we end the show, DJ?
Yeah, we can end.
Can we just end?
Can we get this over with?
There's part of me that was just like, man, maybe this show will just be an hour. That might be...
Sorry!
No, it's good. It's good stuff. Okay. And I like spending time with you.
I like spending time with you. And we get to spend time together. I'm like beeping you on the nose through my webcam.
I hate this. I hate everything about this. It's very
off-putting. I'm like booping your nose on my screen right now. We get to see each other in person next week.
Keep your hands to yourself, engaged boy.
No, I'm going to boop your nose. I'm going to touch you.
Oh, I hate this. I hate this so much.
I'm just looking at my Twitter feed instead of looking at you. Which is like being around me in real life, where I'm like, I hate this. I'm not going to look at you anymore. I'm looking at my phone and my Twitter feed.
But you love Goodbye. Me.
Oh, I do. Okay.
Yay. Well, Ruben, where can they find you on the Twitter, the Twitterverse and all that stuff?
Hey, guys, you can get me at Roobots, R-O-O-B-O-T-S on Twitter. I believe it's probably the same on Instagram, if not, it's with a Z. That's a good rule of thumb. If you look up Roobots with an S, R-O-O-B-O-T-S, and it's someone who's not me, try a Z. That'll probably get you there. And my new comedy podcast is You're Welcome, Hollywood. I think we have our third episode coming out Wednesday, the same day that that this show you should be listening to, if you're listening to the day it came out.
Awesome.
And I think our episode Wednesday is High Pressure, yeah, which is it's a disaster movie, and it's real fucking stupid. They're all really fucking stupid. So give that a check that out if you're interested.
Awesome.
Also, be a doll, and if you like it, subscribe and rate it and review it on iTunes, because that super helps us out. And same for this show. If you guys are enjoying this podcast, there's no way to get analytics for it with how we host it until iPhone iOS 11 comes out. So rate and review us. Spread this good queer business around.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you guys want to be on our show, or you guys have any thoughts, comments, snide remarks for us, go to our website, magicalboyspodcast.com, fill out that form. And
I love listener mail. So please, for sure, we love answering those questions.
Yeah, I love it. So please, we would love to have a whole section dedicated to just answering listener mail. That'd be great. So if we can kind of start building that up, that would be awesome. And if you want to be on the show, please hit us up. We do have a list of people that want to be on, which is great. So we're going to start contacting you guys very soon, though, so we can schedule some dates so you can be on and be our magical boy, girl, or NB guest. So we love you guys, and you can find me at Oh Hey DJ on everything. So that's Twitter, Instagram, not PlayStation. Well, I do have I did secure that name on PlayStation Network as a secondary account. Nintendo Network, all that shit. So yeah, I'm Oh Hey DJ on everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think that's it for us. Bill, Reggie, just one more time, if you guys are looking,
give us jobs.
Looking
y'all.
For just looking for some real fun personalities that the POC queer community already loves.
It's true,
right?
They do
rate and review so they know, guys.
Yes, please review. Please send us reviews on both iTunes and Google Play.
This is the most desperate episode ever. Anyway. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. Stay magical, and we will see you next
week. Okay, bye.
Bye.